Are you tired of the same boring and unhealthy diet of corporate media propaganda and the distraction du jour? Your antidote is here at Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox. Real, revolutionary, and relevant news and talk with fascinating and brilliant guests. Prepare to be informed and motivated with your friend and host, Cindy Sheehan.
Back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox. I'm your host, Cindy Sheehan. This year, we're going to try and shorten the name of Cindy Sheehan Soapbox just to The Soapbox. I think we're pretty well established as a soapbox here, and it's not just my soapbox, it's your soapbox. This week, we're going to have our dear, beloved soapbox guest, Brother Larry Pinckney, who's going to evaluate Obama's performance and the scandalous, shameful 2016 elections. And you'll hear more about those if you stay tuned and listen to the interview I did with Brother Larry. This is his eighth time reviewing Obama, and Obama is just the lamest duck, and Brother Larry Pinckney just keeps on keeping on with all power to the people. So stay tuned, and we'll be right back with Brother Larry Pinckney. Brother Larry Pinckney, welcome back to Cindy Sheehan Soapbox.
Thank you so much. It's always a distinct pleasure, a special, special pleasure. Thank you, Cindy.
Well, you are our most beloved guest, and I think you've been on more than anybody. And we're going into our eighth year. You were on my fourth show, and now you're on my fourth, the very first year. Now you're on the first show of going into our eighth year. So we're always very happy to have you.
Thank you. It's always not only a pleasure, but it sure is great talking to someone who knows what's going on. So thank you, and the audience.
Well, isn't it amazing? It's been a long 8 years. It's gone so fast, but we haven't really aged a minute.
That's true. Thank you there.
Okay, so the first show you were on, we called it Meet the New Boss, Same as the Old Boss. And now I'm calling this show Brother Larry versus the Lame Duck, because Obama couldn't be any more of a lame duck, but he is still there, able to do a lot of damage with very little opposition, unfortunately. He's going to have his final State of the Union. And when I think of that State of the Union, I remember how arrogant he was the first year when he had a State of the Union right after he was inaugurated. Do you remember that? That was so unprecedented, but very narcissistic.
Only too well do I remember that. And I also remember that 3 days after he'd been in the White House, he began to drone, or I should say intensify droning, Pakistan and other countries. But yes, I remember that.
Well, next year, when you're on for the ninth time evaluating the president, we will have a new, just manager of empire, I think, public face of empire. What's your analysis of the clown car of the Republicans? And then it's just, of course, it's all just a show, but, you know, especially with the Democrats, they're putting up another somebody who Bruce A. Dixon of the Black Agenda Report has called a sheep dog for the Democrats. So what's your analysis of what's going on, and who do you think will we be discussing next year?
Well, let me say right off the bat, I want to jump back very quickly to Barack Obama. And let me just say here in the beginning of this year of 2016, January 2016, that what we have seen, Obama's legacy, is in fact a legacy of hypocrisy, deceit, subterfuge, and unending war.
Right.
Unending war.
Right. So let's, we were going to get back to Obama, but we can also start with Obama. So just
I'll follow your lead, and I just wanted to say that because I just had to get it off my chest.
Well, not only what you just said, deceit, hypocrisy, unending war, but just such very little opposition to the increasing police state and the increasing war state.
Yes, yes. The police surveillance state and the war state have increased threefold since this creature known as Barack Obama became the shall I say, the mascot for empire.
Right.
You know, but following up with what you were saying, Sister Cindy, we see a game being repeated again by the Democrat and Republican parties, which is really just one party,
right.
Of course. It's plutocracy. It's a dictatorship of the so-called two-party system, but it's a dictatorship in reality. I may offend some people, but I'm going to tell it like it is. We've got this person running around. His name is Bernie Sanders, calling himself a Democratic Socialist, blah, 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 running on the ticket, okay, of the Democratic Party. Running, when I say ticket, obviously there has been no nominee at this point, but it might as well be a ticket because he's running on the Democratic Party label. Malcolm X referred to the Democrats and the Republicans. He referred to the Democrats as the foxes and the Republicans as the wolves. And they both want to eat you, to initiate you, to destroy you politically, economically, socially, and to mislead you, etc. The Democrats in particular, first we have Hillary the Butcher Clinton.
Right.
And why do I say that? I like to quote her quote where she said, regarding the murder of the former head of state in 2011 in Libya, North Africa, she said gleefully, "We came, we saw, he died." That's a statement of a butcher. That's
right,
not the statement of a, you know, that's not a statement of a diplomat. It's a
psycho.
Statement of a butcher.
It was so psychotic.
Yeah.
And, you know, people, I wrote an article when you called Obama a creature. Last week, I wrote an article called Creatures of the Day. And, you know, it's just that, and I posted the video so people could go. It's like, don't take my word for it. Watch the video where she gleefully cackles. And that's the only word, you know, that might be a misogynist word, but she's cackling like she's some psycho when somebody was just brutally murdered. And I guess there was stuff come out, you know, recently about, I mean, her bloody handprints are all over Libya. And it is just absolutely, to me, disgusting and appalling that anybody could support this creature. And I say creature because people like Obama, Clinton, Sanders, who mostly supports empire, he's an imperialist, and all the Republicans, they don't have any human feelings or emotions like we do.
Right. Right. That's exactly also just why precisely I use the word creature.
I'm glad you did. We're on the same page, as always.
Yeah. to use the word human would be to really, really dehumanize humanity. So I had to say creature. But let me jump very quickly to who I call the sheep herder.
Uh-huh.
And that's Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders knows full well, he's not an idiot, he's not a fool.
No.
He knows full well that what he is doing is sheep herding people into the graveyard of social movements. And what is the graveyard of social movements in this country? It's the Democratic Party.
Exactly.
He knows that.
All right.
And, you know, the reality is that we must be honest with ourselves. And, you know, Sanders did not run from his home state as a Democrat. Sanders ran as an independent, okay? And one has to ask oneself, why would he now decide, well, I'm going to run, under the banner of the Democratic Party, and even went so far as to say that if he did not get the nomination, he would support whoever the DNC, Democratic National Committee, and its minions had selected to be the Democratic Party nominee. This is outrageous. This is not acceptable. It's the same old game. I've seen it before. I go back a few years. I remember Eugene McCarthy, not
right.
to be confused with the McCarthy from Wisconsin, but Eugene McCarthy, and the same game was essentially played, where Gene McCarthy was supposed to be, he was supposed to be the peace candidate,
mm-hmm.
and he whipped in a lot of good intention, well-intentioned people, but where? He whipped them into the plantation, as I refer to it, of the Democratic Party. And we have one big plantation. It's the Democrats and the Republicans. It's a plantation. So I have to just say this. If I'm offending people, let the chips fall where they may. The truth is the truth is the truth. And Bernie Sanders, with respect I did have for him, has been greatly diminished by this game that he is playing. As I said, he is not a fool. He knows what he's doing, and he knows he shouldn't be doing it. How dare he not be pointing out the bloody, bloody exercises in imperialism that the United States, under the guidance, if you will, of Barack Obama, have been carrying out, not to mention Hillary Clinton. He had the nerve to get up and say, nobody's interested in Hillary Clinton's emails. Excuse
right.
me, you know, excuse me, but just a very, very few days ago, the Hillary Clinton emails are now showing that the real reasons for the United States to break international law, which it does all the time,
mm-hmm.
and to bomb, to go in and to destabilize and actually destroy, as they did in Iraq, but I'm talking about none other than Libya, North Africa right now. The real reason for that having been done, according to the very emails of Hillary Clinton, just very recently released, and I'm talking about just a matter of days, show that one, Libya's gold reserves. Gaddafi had planned to use those gold reserves, they feared, to implement what's called a pan-African system, a monetary system,
right.
which would have given great competition and possibly significantly knocked the U.S. dollar out of the box on the African continent. Oh, that could not be tolerated. He had to die for that. He had to die for that. The other thing that the emails point out is that it was Libya's oil reserves. The U.S., of course, the vulturous creature that our government is, you know, controlled by corporations, let's be clear, it's a
right.
corporate government, no matter whether it's Democrat or Republican. But these are the two things that the emails, the Hillary Clinton emails pointed out. And Bernie Sanders had the nerve to say approximately a month and a half ago in a so-called debate, and I say so-called, people don't care about the emails. Excuse me?
Right.
You know, that. So this is outrageous. I'm going to stop right there and tell you, tell me to I can go further, because I've got more to say, believe me.
Well, let's. I just want to make one comment about you know, Bernie Sanders, and you said you didn't want to offend people. And the soapbox has been accused of a lot of things, but soft pedaling issues hasn't been one of the things we've been accused of over these 7 years and going into our eighth year. To me, of course, Bernie Sanders, you said he calls himself a democratic socialist or a social democrat or whatever. And the mild reforms that he is proposing, and let's face it, they are mild reforms. He's talking about, you know, reforming banks, taxing people, but he really wants to tax more of the middle class and the rich people. His tax program raises taxes up to, I think, 116 grand or something like that. But anyway, to me, those mild reforms are not worth trading the lives and the well-being of people around this planet. He supported imperialism. He's a, you know, has supported Israel's bombardment of Palestine and Gaza. And to me, those mild reforms aren't worth it. And to support Bernie Sanders this way is very nationalistic. It's very chauvinistic. It's like you know, people should be making, his supporters should be making the demand, let's talk about nationalizing the banks. Let's talk about nationalizing these industries. Let's talk about putting these corporations under the control of the workers and things like that. True socialism is, you know, something that would be worth it. But true socialism is not imperialistic, and they should be saying, you know, close the 1,000 bases we have around the world, end the wars, bring that money home, decimate the Pentagon, and let's work on constructing a healthy world, not just be so chauvinistic about what we can get here in the United States with his mild reforms that, you know, he's just the president. They, you know, probably wouldn't pass anyway.
Right. But you see, the thing of, and I agree totally with what you said. The thing is that let's be blunt. Let's be frank, as you and I always are, sister. The reality is that a milder form of American imperialism, of U.S. government, corporate government, imperialism is still imperialism. Whether you die by hanging, whether you die by drowning, or whether you die by the firing squad in this country, or, and I'm talking about euphemistically and metaphorically and quite frankly, quite literally, okay? You shouldn't be dying at all. We shouldn't be dying at all. And we're talking about another so-called candidate who clearly believes in what's called American exceptionalism.
Yes.
And American exceptionalism is nothing more than an updated version of the Manifest Destiny. If anybody remembers the Manifest Destiny, that somehow America had the right to commit genocide of millions and millions of indigenous native peoples. It hasn't changed at all. Not at all. Not one iota. That's what they now call, including this creature Barack Obama and Hillary Clinton, these creatures, including them, that's what they now call American exceptionalism. So Bernie Sanders is playing the same tune. He might be playing a different instrument. He might have a different set of shoes on. I don't know, but he's playing the same tune. We need to be honest with each other. We need systemic change.
Right.
And if we're not going to push and demand and struggle for systemic change, we need to stop BSing. Just stop. Get off the toilet. Just get off of it and be honest. So people, this nation, and I do believe in the great potential of the people. Let me stress, the people. We said in the Black Panther Party, original party, all power to the people.
Right.
I still hold that dear. However, I have no belief, no trust, no confidence whatsoever in the corporate governments and the dictatorship of the Democrat and Republican parties. I'll keep quiet.
Well, I don't invite you on to keep quiet. So this one thing, let's shift gears back to our lame duck friend Obama. And this week he had a speech about gun control. And I don't know, there's been so much, oh, he's so compassionate, he's so wonderful, he really cares about all the children that are killed with guns. He cares maybe about the white children here in the United States that are killed by guns, but not so much the people that he murders all over the world.
Thank you.
How many children really has, and then I put that on my Facebook wall, and someone said, come on, Cindy, you really think he took an AK-47 and mowed down these children himself? Would that same person who was defending Obama defend Bush for all the children that he's murdered? So talk a little bit about his recent speech and how hypocritical, to me, and I think you believe that it is so hypocritical for a mass murderer to get up and cry crocodile tears over, I think every life is precious, not just white children here in the United States.
Well, every life is precious. Every life is precious, right? And let me say that it's beyond hypocrisy on Barack Obama's part. As I said when I began, I said his legacy is a legacy of hypocrisy, deceit, subterfuge, and unending war. And I meant precisely what I said. Barack Obama, to believe that Barack Obama has a sincere bone in his body would be tantamount to going to the fox and asking the fox who ate the chickens, and really expecting the fox as he licks his lips to tell you.
Right.
Okay? I mean, it is absurd, it is ridiculous, and those people, those apologists, all right, for this neoliberal fascism, because that's what it is, mm-hmm. nothing more than neoliberal fascism, 21st century style, those apologists for Barack Obama are themselves complicit. I want to emphasize that. They are complicit in the murders of not only people in this nation, but people around the world. It's so interesting. You know, I want to just say very quickly, there's this group called Black Lives Matter.
Right.
Well, if Black Lives Matter, the lives of over 10,000 blacks who were massacred in Libya, North Africa, must also matter. Okay? The lives of thousands of Somalis in East Africa must also matter. And who snuffed out those lives? Why, none other than Barack Obama and his minions. We need to stop it. Stop this hypocrisy. Stop it. You know, just stop it. And you know, stop. It's like somebody trying to stand up and apologize for Mussolini, or apologize for Hitler, or to apologize. And people say, "Oh, you're comparing him to Hitler." Hell no, I'm not comparing Obama to Hitler. You know why? Because he has done more damage than Hitler ever could have. Because Hitler did not. I'm sure he would have done more damage if he could have. But Obama as the poster child, I won't even say child, the poster creature for this U.S. empire with approximately 1,000 military bases around the world. He has done incredible damage to Africa, to Europe, to Asia. And guess what? Right here in this country, remember back in 2008, when over 70% of the U.S. population was clamoring for universal health care? Remember that?
Yep.
Remember what Obama did when he got into office? Why, the first thing he did was he told the people who had supported him to basically go to hell, and he sat down and had private conferences with none other than who? The giant multinational pharmaceutical corporations. The hell with universal health care. The hell with the people. That's the real Barack Obama. And, you know, while groups like Black Lives Matter might talk about the horrible police brutality all over the world, which, by the way, I mean all over this country, and the police, the military police brutality all over the world on the part of the U.S.
Right.
Let's understand. You know, we need to understand something. We need to understand that this did not begin yesterday or last year. This is something that is carried on systematically and systemically. Barack Obama in October of just 2.5 months ago of 2015 went and praised the police. All right, in Chicago at the IACP convention, police convention, okay? Let's be honest. We need to stop it, to stop lying. And having this bloody war criminal, murderer, drone man, hypocrite, liar, Barack Obama, stand up and have the unmitigated audacity of an alley cat to talk about guns, why, he's the biggest gun of them all, currently. So he and Miss Wekeen, we saw he died, Butcher, Hillary Clinton, those two together, you know, make it crystal clear, or should be crystal clear, to the people of what this is all about, not to mention the fact that Obama refuses to take any actions to prosecute his predecessor, George W. Bush. He refuses to release the 28 redacted pages showing the direct collusion and involvement of Saudis in the horrible events of 9/11, 2001 in the U.S. He refuses to take action. Let's be honest. And oh, by the way, remember him saying he was going to close Guantanamo?
Yeah.
That torture factory? You know, what happened to that? And then you have these Obama apologists talking about, he's blocked by the Congress. He's
right.
Not blocked by the Congress. That's a lie. That's an unmitigated lie. Obama could, in an instant, with a pen and piece of paper, close Guantanamo down. This is the same old disgusting, sick, bloody game that has been going on and on and on. So I'm going to leave it right there until you tell me to continue.
Well, not only, you know, is Obama a mass murderer, and, you know, he's the puppet of this murderous empire. Also, you know, for him to say that gun control is urgently needed in the United States, my response is, first, if you take guns away from cops, then yeah, that's where the problem is. But the second response is, the United States is the biggest arms dealer in the whole world.
That is right. That is absolutely correct. Was just talking about that with a comrade the other day, with a dear, dear friend the other day, that you can compare France, Germany, a number of other countries, but France is a big arms producer and dealer. Mm-hmm. So is the UK, the United Kingdom, et cetera, et cetera. You can combine them, and the U.S. is still number one in terms of arms. And when we say arms, not just guns, we're talking about missiles mm-hmm. produced by U.S. bloody corporations such as Lockheed Martin. We're talking about armor of all kinds. We're talking about mines. We're talking so again, I go back to this analogy of going to Obama and listening to him to dare to speak of taking away guns.
Right.
Why don't we begin by taking away guns from Lockheed?
Right.
Taking away guns from these bloody corporations whose elite make not billions but trillions of dollars, and the lives of U.S. citizens and world citizens, people black, white, brown, red, and yellow around the world, are being snuffed out by this war criminal.
Well, we're running out of time, and I just want to go back to the very first show, the fourth episode of Cindy Sheehan's Soapbox, out of these very many, over 300 episodes now. The fourth episode, wow, when you were on, you were scoffing at the idea that Obama was a community organizer. Now we both know, and I think a majority of the people who are loyal listeners of the Soapbox know, that the system is rigged, that elections, you know, even if we had good candidates, the elections are rigged. And, you know, look at just the DNC as the most undemocratic institution because they have superdelegates. So even if Sanders were to win, you know, a majority of delegates, the superdelegates could wipe that out, you know, in an instant. And there would be a brief, and, you know, I haven't been around as long as you in the movement, at least, but I've noticed that there will be a brief flash of consternation among his supporters, but then most of them will line up behind Hillary or, right, you know, whomever the nomination is and the nominee is. And so, so we see it. You know, the you know, amazingly, the Republicans have a more transparent nomination process than the Democrats do.
But which I think is an irony. Isn't that ironic?
Yeah.
go ahead.
It's very ironic. So we both know that these elections are absolutely rigged. We get to vote for the candidates that are chosen for us to vote for. And then a minority of the population will go out to vote. And the candidate will win with 51% to 49%, claim a mandate, and 51% of just 30% of the people eligible to vote who vote. So it's just a ridiculous political system. You are a true community organizer with decades of community organizing under your belts. Where do you think would be more, you know, more legitimate ways to place our energies this year? Let's just talk about 2016, where we're going to be inundated by crapaganda.
I have to say that first and foremost, we should be concentrating in our towns, our cities, our villages, our locally is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. Okay. We must take control locally. And what do I mean by we? I'm talking about everyday, ordinary black, white, brown, red, and yellow people. And quite frankly, I'm sick and tired of the sellout of the so-called left in this nation, too. Mm-hmm. Okay? As my brother comrade, Eddie Perez, put it, he said, Larry, that left. Yeah. I said, sure you're right. They sure did it. Uh-huh. Okay? And what we, everyday, ordinary black, white, brown, red, and yellow people need to be doing is taking people control, all power to the people, taking people control of the local entities, the state entities. And yes, does this mean that the feds aren't going to try to dominate us? Of course they are. We understand that. That's what struggle is all about. But let's not waste our time and our energies backing the Democrat or Republican parties, who are both bloodsuckers and who both want to emaciate us. We need to make, and I go back, Cindy, to this word, systemic change. You know, too many of us, and those of those folks who consider themselves progressive or leftist or whatever word they want to come up with to describe themselves, you know what? They forget that their ideologies have become idiotologies. Idiotologies. Okay? What we need is an ideology, and all I mean by ideology is the belief by the populace, by the people, that works together. We're gonna have our disagreements, we're gonna have this, and we should. That's what struggle's about. But stop staying on the Democrat and Republican Party plantations. Get the hell off. Understand it. You know what? Because history is going to show that we, the people, did not take our responsibilities seriously in this country, and that as such, for because of that, we have become the scourge of humanity. All right? That's not to say that other countries are perfect, by no means. But there is no such thing either as American exceptionalism. So let's organize, work together here, locally, okay, in our cities, in our towns, and on the state level. And eventually, sooner than I think a lot of people think, we'll be saying to the federal government, we're the people. We are the people, not you. You don't represent us. As Albert Camus, the French philosopher, said, what good does it do a person to give him a vote and tell him that he's free when you, he or she is free, when you have selected who they have to vote for? That's not voting at all.
Well, and also, as I think it was Marx, Karl, not Groucho, who said, I have to make a distinction. When I say Lenin, I have to say Vladimir, not John. But
right.
He said that the elections are opportunity for the masses to go out and vote for their oppressor. Mm-hmm. And, you know, mm-hmm. who's going to oppress them for the next whatever term it's going to be. So, Brother Larry, thank you so much again for giving us the honor of your presence. And tell my listeners where they can be more in touch with you.
Well, please just go to Black Activists WG. That's blackactivistswg.org. It stands for Black Activist Writers Guild. That's our site. Please check it out. And as soon as this show comes out, we're going to put this show on it as well. But I also want to say very quickly, I mean, I write for a number of different places, but go to blackactivistwg.org. But I want to say this, Cindy, I got to put a plug in for this. Anyone who may not have gotten yet Cindy's book, The Obama Files, Chronicles of an Award-Winning War Criminal, get it. Go out right away. Get it. Okay? By Cindy Sheehan.
I thank you. Files. With a foreword by Larry Pinkney.
Happens. I was, what an honor. What an honor. What a privilege. And as always, I want to say to all my sisters and brothers, black, white, brown, red, and yellow, all filed to the people. Things don't happen by osmosis. Comfortable people don't make change. We got to do it ourselves. Thank you so much, sister.
Well, and thank you for being with us all these years through the struggle, and for being willing to keeping it real, and for being willing to make people uncomfortable, because as I know, it's not always the most immediately rewarding profession. I know we get a lot of crap, but it's very, you know, it's good to know that we do have comrades in the struggle. And here's to you being on another 8 years and just being willing to go out there and make people uncomfortable. We've had to struggle with these issues. I know I've had to come to terms with a lot of things, and I've been made extremely uncomfortable. And it's not going to be until we are uncomfortable, till we're ready to dig in and do the hard work of revolution. And revolution does mean transforming our communities and spreading true systemic change horizontally, till the only way it has to go is vertical. And good change isn't going to come from the top. It's going to come from this horizontal momentum to undermine this horribly dreadful empire. Not support it. Not try to reform or save capitalism or imperialism, but to collapse it.
Right. And not to apologize for it. Stop apologizing for it, because not you, my dear sister,
right.
Obviously. But when people apologize for it, what they're doing is they are complicitous. They are complicit with it. Stop it. We need to stop it. So again, I thank you, sister. You have been strong and true. Remain, as I know you will, strong and true. Speak truth to power. It ain't easy, but hey. That's why we're here. Thank you so much.
Thank you, dear brother. And we'll send this to you as soon as it gets posted.
All right. Okay. Take care, sister.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye. Lots of soapbox for this week. As always, I hope you were informed and inspired to really look forward into the topics we presented today. And I hope you'll agree with me that Brother Larry sure is spirited, informed, and likes to really keep it real. And I hope you check out his website. As always, I'd like to thank my engineer, Don DeBar. I'd like to thank Brother Larry for his decades of activism and for always being agreeable to be on the soapbox. And I'd like to thank you for listening and supporting the show. I'm Cindy Sheehan. You've been listening to the Soapbox. Peace out for now.